It's always a pleasure. Good morning, church. Good to see everyone. Glad you're here. Where else would you be, right? I mean, what else could you possibly be doing today? That would be better than this. Thanks, honey. See? Team honey. It just doesn't work without her. So, well, anyway, I'm glad to see you, glad to hear you, glad to talk with you. Let's hear a word from the Lord. This is Psalm 115. To your name give glory. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, for the sake of the steadfast love and your faithfulness. Why should the nation say, where is their God? Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but do not speak. Eyes, but do not see. They have ears, but do not hear. Noses, but do not smell. They have hands, but do not feel. Feet, but do not walk. And they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord. Both the small and the great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of man. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. There you go. Fired up now, aren't you? I certainly am. I mean, I love that part about the idols. That just makes so much sense, doesn't it? Eyes that can't see, ears that can't hear, noses that don't smell, hands that don't feel, feet that don't walk, throats that don't make a sound, and eventually the ones who made them are going to be just like them. They're not going to know the Lord. They're not going to know his grace and his love and his forgiveness. They're not going to know his omnipotence, that everything that we see is his and has been created by him and for him and through him. That's our God. Amen. Okay, so a quick recap. We are in Judges 13, and we started about the week before last, and we met Manoah and his wife. She was barren. And the angel of the Lord came upon her and told her that she was going to have a child, but her husband wasn't with her. So she went back to her husband and told him all that he had said. And he was bummed because he wanted to be there and hear this. So he prayed to God. His name is Manoah, kind of a cool name, Manoah. And he prayed to God that said, please bring the man back so that I might hear everything that he said. And he did. He brought him back, and Manoah was able to see this guy with his own eyes. And again, he is an angel of the Lord, meaning he is God himself in a form that is visible to us. But they didn't know that. They thought he was just a man of God, a priest, a prophet, or something of that nature. They did not know that that's who he was. And so again, Manoah asked the guy, what's this child supposed to be like? And what we love about, what I love about Manoah, and maybe you do too, is that he was very thoughtful in his question. He said, Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, please let the man of God with whom you sent come again to us and teach us what we're to do with the child who will be born. Teach us. He was willing to hear from them, not like, I'm going to raise my child the way I want to. No, please tell us how you want this child to be. He says further on, what manner of life should this child have? And I love the example that he has. He did this in prayer, through prayer. Our way to communicate with God is through prayer. And he did that. And he had a heart that was teachable. Does that make sense? He was willing to hear some advice, not like most of us men, like, I got this. I don't need to hear anything, right? I got it. Thanks, but no. He was teachable. He sought the guidance of this person, who, again, who he thought was a man, still doesn't know that is the angel of the Lord. Okay? And he asked for confirmation. He's like, is this really going to happen? Is she really going to have a baby? You know, and she's supposed to abstain, which was one of the big things, meaning that she was to refrain from any type of alcohol, any grape, any dried fruit, anything of that nature, because he was to be a Nazirite, not after he was born, but from the womb. As a baby being formed in his mama's womb, he was already a Nazirite. He was dedicated to the Nazirite. So again, he would be abstaining from things. There are four certain things that a Nazirite would, but she as a mother had to abstain as well. So that's where we left it, because then Mom's Day happened. And so last week we talked about mothers. So this week I am going to read from Judges 13, the last half of the chapter, starting in verse 15. And everything I just spoke about is what happened prior to this. So verse 15, picking up here, Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, please let us detain you and prepare a young goat for you. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, if you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, then offer it to the Lord. And in parentheses, it says, for Manoah did not know that he was the angel of the Lord. Still, does not know this. And Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is your name? So that when your words come true, we may honor you. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name? Seeing it is wonderful. So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it on the rock to the Lord, to the one who works wonders. And Manoah and his wife were watching. And when the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord went up in the flame of the altar. Now Manoah and his wife were watching, and they fell on their faces to the ground. The angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, we shall surely die, for we have seen God. But his wife said to him, gentlemen, this is why we love wives. If the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering at our hands, or shown us all these things, or announced to us such things as these. And the woman bore a son, called his name Samson, and the young man grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him in Mahanaim, between Zorah and Eshtal. And that is God's word. So just speaking of marriages, I mean, it's a partnership, right? Men are men and women are women, but they work better together. And I have seen this with my wife, and I love her dearly. And sure, we may have confrontations, but I'm just getting this out there. I love what she said at the end. Come on, you know, the wife is talking some sense into her husband, because he's kind of flipping out a little bit, because he has every right. Every right to be, you know, gone over the edge, because he realizes now that the angel of the Lord was not just another priest, not just a godly man. He was God. Okay? And what does it say in the Old Testament? That thou shalt not see my face. He told Moses, God told Moses, you know, I'll let you see my, as I pass by, but no one shall see my face. And so wives, you know, it's a team, it's a partnership. We work together. Listen to these words. I just love it. But his wife said to him, if the Lord had meant to kill us, he would had not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering to our hands, or shown us all these things, or announced to us such things as these. Right? You know, it's almost like there should have been a question after it. You know, I mean, gentlemen, I'm sorry that we God made marriage perfect. Man and woman, we offset each other, we help each other, we love each other. And that is just one more perfect example. Okay. There's my two cents about that. So Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, please let us detain you and prepare a young goat. Not knowing he was God, that's verse 15. So he wanted to detain him. Maybe he could pull a little more information from this guy that he just thought was a guy. Just another man. Just maybe a person who was a priest. Okay. At best, prophet, maybe. But the angel of the Lord, no clue. So he wanted to detain him. Maybe that, you know, while they were eating, he would spill a little bit more of what he's already revealed to his wife. Okay? Reveal some sort of secret to him. Verse 16, and the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, if you detain me, I will not eat of your food, but
If you prepare a burnt offering, then offer it to the Lord. Okay, so once again, in parentheses, he did not know that this was the angel of the Lord. What is a burnt offering? Just a sacrifice on an altar? Remember, burnt offering was something that God told Moses was supposed to happen to make these peace offerings to him. A burnt offering was the complete destruction of an animal, except for the hide, in an effort to renew the relationship between a holy God and sinful man. So, I mean, if you have truly read the Bible in the beginning, in the Old Testament, I mean, they had to be a farming community because the amount of animals that they sacrificed was tremendous. Think about the dedication of the temple. It went on forever. I mean, it was tremendous. Every person had to bring an offering if they had a sin, for a sin offering or something like that. I mean, they were bringing grain, but they brought animals and birds, a lot of animals. All right? And a burnt offering, this was their way back to God. This is a better way. We don't have to do this because Jesus came and died for our sins. And that's what this animal was supposed to be doing. To renew the relationship between a holy God and what? Not just man, a sinful man. We're broken. People, we choose ourselves over and over. A random act of kindness is a hard thing for us to do unless you understand what was happening here. What was done for us? Jesus, the Son of God, creator of all you see, came down from his high holy place and became man. So we don't have to offer sacrifices on an altar. Now, something kind of interesting is that the Hebrew word for burnt offering actually means literally to go up in smoke. It's to go up in smoke to God. Okay? The smoke of the sacrifice ascends to God, and it's a soothing aroma to the Lord. And again, remember, to bring us back into a right relationship with a holy God, we have to make sure. Now, this is the way Israel is walking. They are walking outside of God's will, right? Remember in Judges 13:1, Israel did what was wrong in the sight of the Lord again. Okay? So we already know that the whole nation of Israel was walking away from the Lord, against the Lord, outside of his will. So they were offering sacrifices to not God, but to man-made idols that we just read about today. How about that kind of providence, guys? God's grace and mercy, the psalm we read and prayed this morning was talking about man-made idols that people offered sacrifices to, and then we will become just like the lifeless idols. We will have no faith. We will have no grace. We will have no mercy. We will show no love. We can't do anything, let alone we just stand there. I love the whole Dagon concept. When they put the Ark of the Covenant in with the Philistines' god of the Dagon, he fell down on his face. Wonder how that happened. You know, I mean, our God is the one true God. He is a living God. He's a God that is aware of everything about you. Amen. And your circumstances at this very moment. What you're thinking. Kind of shocking, right? But that's our God. And we have that relationship with him through Jesus Christ and by the love that he shows us and the grace that we don't deserve. I didn't line those psalms up providentially. That's just how it works out. I am walking through the psalms, and we'll have to talk about how we're going to do Psalm 119. But this is what happened today, and this is where we are, and this is what we're studying. And it's just amazing because it just is one more link in the everlasting chain that everything that in this Bible works together to teach us and for our benefit. So we know who he is. So we know what we're supposed to do. So we know how we're supposed to live and love and forgive like we've been loving and forgiving. Okay? We know these things because he loves us that much that he gave us a book that is immutable, unchangeable, never changed. All right. Amen. Thank you. So again, he still thinks that he's not God at all, but a servant or a prophet or an angel, but not God. John Gill says, Manoah still thought this man to be not the angel of the Lord, but a man, much less the uncreated one, okay, to whom, as such, only the sacrifice could be offered. So, interesting, right? He's telling, the man is telling Manoah to offer a burnt offering. And burnt offerings are only supposed to be offered to God. So, we're starting to see a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel here, maybe. Okay, John MacArthur says, Manoah needed this explanation, okay, because here's the explanation. I will not eat your food, but if you prepare a burnt offering, then offer it to the Lord. He needed this explanation because he was going to offer this to the man, as a priest or as a prophet, but he was a man. And this is how Manoah saw him, so he was going to make this offering to him. And he's like, no. Not to me, not as the Lord himself or even as an angel, but just as a human messenger. This is what MacArthur says. The instruction is intended to emphasize that this visitor is indeed the Lord, not a man. A man is not worthy of that burnt offering sacrifice. So Manoah still did not know. Had he known that he was the Lord, he would have been horrified or scared to death, because I would imagine we all would. Would you not? If you come into the very presence of God, we would be falling on our face. Amen. And afraid to death. You know, Hollywood does a pretty good job, but not good enough. All right? You would know, and you would be afraid. Okay? Let's just put it what it is. Matthew Henry says, had he known the Lord, all caps, he would have been horrified, scared to death. Actually, I wrote that. Here's Matthew Henry. We could not bear the sight of the divine glory unveiled.
Amen.
Okay? God having determined to speak to us by men like ourselves, prophets and ministers, even when he spoke by his angels or by his son, they appeared in the likeness of men. And were taken, but for men, of God, meaning they're just a man of God. So when our prophets and our Lord and Savior, you know, I mean, think about it. He made them in the likeness of men so that we would be more receptive, maybe more willing to understand and think that they were men of God, not necessarily God himself. Does that make sense? Makes sense to me. You know, we might not have been able to take it had it not been. Verse 17, and Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is your name? And I always add, I love the moments when people like us ask divine beings or the angel of the Lord, so what's your name? Is it Joel? Is it Harry? Who are you? What do you go by? God. You know, I mean, can you imagine? Can you just imagine? So he asked him, what is your name? And when your words come true, so that we may honor you. He wanted to know the man's name, man in quotes, so that when the words came true, and this is a beautiful thing about Manoah, again, he completely, undeniably trusted that this was going to happen, which is kind of cool. So when this comes true, that we may honor you, so we must know your name. And the angel of the Lord, this is another indication that the angel was the Lord, just worked out in happy circumstances? I don't think so, the way God puts things together. Verse 18 says, and the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? Question mark. King James, I think, uses seeing it is secret. You might want to confirm that for me, Matthew. I know somebody did. Secret. So think about that. Seeing that it's wonderful, but it's secret. Wonderful literally means, in Strong's H63883 is the word number. It's wonderful, incomprehensible, and extraordinary. So think about that the next time you use wonderful. But seeing it is wonderful, or it is secret, like the angel of God who wrestled with Jacob, wouldn't give his name in Genesis, right? Instead, he just touched his hip a little. Here you go, a little something to remember me by. You know? Listen, I know that every single one of us has struggled with hearing from God. Okay? I mean, brother, you talked about it, again, providentially put in the perfect place. You know, and We were taught early on in a Bible study that some of the ways that God speaks to us is through other believers in church, through song, through praise, through prayer, and through his word. Okay? And so, but for us to understand it, we have to have that understanding that we're sinful, right? That we need a savior, right? That our hearts believe that Christ died for everything that I've done and will do wrong, right? That changed heart is we're talking about. Because when that happens, you're sanctified by who? Holy Spirit comes to live within you, right? You get a peace of God that helps you to understand what this means, how to pray, the words when you're talking to someone right now, where they're coming from. You just don't know. Well, it's not me, but it's him. When you're speaking to somebody, a friend at work, or you're speaking into their lives, they have a problem, they've come to you because they know maybe that you've been attending church, you know that you've been changed, they see a change in you, and they're seeking your advice about something, and when you're talking, do you ever walk away and go, where did that come from, right? That's the Holy Spirit speaking within you. That's the peace of God that we have when we believe that what Christ did for us on the cross, that we need it. We believe that that act of love and sacrifice by Christ from God's perfect plan saves us. We don't deserve it. That's the grace and the love that we have, the mercy that's shown. We don't deserve it. We could never earn it on our own. So, I know that sometimes we struggle when we're really struggling. I mean, you're looking for an answer for something and you want it right now because that's who we are, right? We expect it to happen right away. And sometimes God's a little smarter than we are, yes? Okay, so maybe it's secret. Maybe it's too wonderful and you won't grasp it yet. Does that make sense? Maybe he's just asking you to wait. Doesn't mean stop praying. Doesn't mean give up, I'll do it myself. It means wait. Continue to pray. Continue to seek his will. Continue to talk to like-minded people. Continue to go to church. Continue to read your Bible. Continue to study. And again, continue to pray. Sing praises to God. In the NSB with one of my Bibles I studied, this headline was called Knowledge Withheld. Okay? And it's not like he's a mean, angry God that's going to keep it from you. This is mine. He doesn't want you to know. There's a reason that some of this knowledge is withheld from us. Can you agree with that? Some of these answers, some of these examples could be because it's dangerous. Maybe you don't want it because it's dangerous. You don't know that yet, but he knows everything. Okay, such as Genesis 2:17, but of the tree and knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day of it you shall surely die. It's kind of dangerous. Now, that dying is a spiritual dying and going to hell instead of being in his holy presence, but it's dangerous to us. How about the inability to understand? Do we grasp everything that's in this Bible? Even if you've read it 10, 20 times, do you understand everything? Because I heard a person say that you could read it 1,000 times, and on 1,001, you're going to get something even deeper. That's how deep this Bible is, in levels of understanding, in our ability to see and hear God's plan in here for us. Now, I'm not going to live that long to read that many times, but I can see that progression in my own walk. And I can't speak for you guys, but I can't deny that you can't see that either, that you can see that progression, the deeper understanding. You're like, oh man, I read this last year and I'm seeing something different here, because you're in a different place, because you're continued to walking with God, probably because you've grown a little bit. If you still don't understand something after 10 years of reading it, maybe you're not putting the effort in that God requires us, because it does take some work, yes? I mean, there is some effort on our part to being a Christian. It's totally denying your old self. So yeah, that's a lot of work. This is easy. This takes some effort. So maybe we don't have that ability to understand yet. Even Jesus said it in John 13:7. Jesus answered him and said, "What I do now, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter." Okay? Does that make sense? How about our inability of human, of who we are? We're weak overall, are we not? Human weakness. Again, Jesus, "I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. We're not strong enough." There are reasons that we might not hear from him right when we want to. Right? We're a little impatient sometimes. How about we have limitations while we're here on earth? Does that make sense? Earthly limitations? Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then the face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I've always also have been fully known." Okay? And again, as we read this year after year after year, and we study it, and we do new Bible studies, or even old Bible studies that we did 5 years ago. Have you ever done that? Has anyone ever done an old Bible study and go, "Huh," and you look what you wrote down in your workbook, and you're in a completely different place than that? That's so cool. That's growth. That's God's love. That's why sometimes we might not get what we want when we want it. And we're just people. We're a little impatient. But so that's called gradual revelation of the divine plan. Ephesians 3:5, "Which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men as it has been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit." It's gradual. I don't think we could take it all in. We would probably blow up. Our minds would explode. We are not there yet to understand it. We'd walk away instead of continue to study. Like, this is just too much. You know, if it was all dumped on you at once. Just speaking, not from your perspective, from my perspective. I'm not saying that this is what you guys would do. I know me. Just assuming because we're all men that maybe we might have some of the same thoughts, you know. How about to give an opportunity to faith? Maybe we just let faith guide us. Have that strong faith. Trust Jesus in his word and what he says, okay? "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is." All right? Let's give ourselves an opportunity to let faith work. Or in much easier English language, sometimes we ask God questions and we receive no answer. This may not be because God is saying no. We may have asked for knowledge beyond our ability to understand it. Simple as that. Can we get on board with that? So kind of what's happening here with Manoah. You're just not going to get it yet because you think I'm a dude. You think I'm another man. You don't understand that I am who I am. You know, that's where he's at this moment. Proverbs 34. Remember who we're talking about here. I'm going to go back to the telescope, the Horsehead Nebula. That picture just blows me away because we're looking at that and we're seeing about 16 other galaxies out there. And we're like, I live in one of those. You know, unbelievable. Proverbs 30:4. "Who has ascended into heavens and descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has wrapped the waters in his garments? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name or his son's name? Surely you know." That's our God. So sometimes, like it said, we may have asked for knowledge beyond our ability to understand it or to accept it. It might be a little bit more than we could take and chew off. Verse 19, "So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering," because we knew it was a goat, because he asked him to say, "Let us detain you, we will cook a goat," "and offered it on the rock to the Lord," not to the man. He said, "Offer it to the Lord," and he listened to the guy and said, "All right, we're going to do a burnt offering." Now, burnt offerings are supposed to be done by priests. The altar was in Shiloh at this point in time, but apparently it was okay at this point. Israel was far, far away from God. So he offered it to the Lord, to the one who works wonders, and Manoah and his wife were watching. And we're seeing here that Manoah was showing his desire to serve God. Even though he wasn't a priest, burnt offerings were supposed to be performed. at the tabernacle in Shiloh. John Gill says all this was dispensed with, and Manoah was justified in what he did by the warrant of the angel. Did you get that? The angel said, make a burnt offering to the Lord. Now he's starting to understand who he is. Like Manoah, we can only see so much on our own. But, with the Holy Spirit that lives within us, we have faith and we can see differently. Yes? Verse 20, and when the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord went up the flame of the altar. Now Manoah and his wife were watching and they fell on their faces on the ground. Why'd they do that? Where'd he go? He went up in the flame. This is a miraculous act. This is a miracle. It's a divine acceptance of the offering. So their offer was accepted by God, who went up in the flame. Verse 21, the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife. Then Manoah knew. Finally, he's like, can you see him? You know who that guy was? You know who I was? He went out, that's the angel of the Lord. It was God. You know, can you see the excitement? I'd be excited after I bowed down and realized that he finally got it. I'm like, you know, I like this guy. I really do. I like this guy. This chapter has been a lot of fun. I can relate with this fella. You know, it's like, you got to show me. Sorry. Oh, you did show me. Oh, I am sorry. So he knew that he was the angel of the Lord. Verse 22, and Manoah and his wife, we shall surely die, for we have seen God. So we talked about that. And we talked about how amazing and terrorizing it would be at the same time. You know, I believe this is from Henry again. The terror in the heart of a sinner when in the presence of a holy God. Just think of those words. The terror in the heart of a sinner, because we are. We are in the very presence of a holy God. And he was too. He was nothing but human. Okay? Think of some of the times in the Gospels when Jesus did miracles and the things that were said right after he did them. And they were said by the apostles. Mark 4:39, and then we're talking about when they were in the storm. Okay? And he awoke and rebuked the wind. You know, and I love how the apostles started this. I believe the verse before it said, do you not care that we're perishing here? Aren't you worried that we're dying? I mean, we're dying out here. And he's sleeping. And so this is the verse right after it. And he awoke and rebuked the wind and peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And listen to this next line. And remember, the terror in the heart of a sinner. And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, his disciples who had been walking with him, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Even they who walked and ate and slept right next to him and traveled with him, when they started to realize who he was, even they had terror in their hearts because they were sinful men. That's us. That was Manoah. That's what he realized. And one more time, Jesus calls the first disciple, Peter, okay, Luke 5:8. But when Peter saw it, remember when he said, have you tossed your net over this side? He's like, I've been out all night. What do you know? I can't catch anything. He's like, go out a little deeper and throw it on the left side. And he's like, well, for your, okay. And so he did, and mass amounts of fish came in and, you know, almost sunk and all of that. And Peter, but when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus's knees saying beautiful words. And I love Peter. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He got it then, right when he was called, but I love his walk as he went through. It just points to being human, right? I love Peter. Love, 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 love. Verse 23 says, but his wife said to him, if the Lord, and now we see the wisdom and discernment of this woman that we don't know her name. We just don't know her name. We know Manoah. We know it's Samson's mom. We know that she was to abstain from all beer, wine, fruit, raisins, dried grapes, whatever. She was to be abstinent of all these things so that he could be a Nazarite from the womb. And she says to him, if the Lord had meant to kill us, he would have accepted, he would not have accepted our burnt offering, a grain offering at our hands, or shown us all these things, or announced to us such things as these. Such wisdom and faith I see from Manoah's wife. And I would love to have just a little bit of that. You know what I mean? Anyway, I have a really, I want to say kind of a lengthy quote from Matthew Henry, but just hear it through. When Manoah asked for instructions in his duty, he was readily told, but what he asked to gratify, his curiosity was denied. God has in his word given full directions concerning our duty, but never designed to answer other questionings. Okay? We have everything we need right here. Okay, so his askings were his own curiosity, not things he needed to know. So here he goes on to say, there are secret things which belong not to us, of which we must be quite contented to be ignorant while in this world. Okay, the name of our Lord is wonderful and secret, but by his wonderful works, he makes himself known as far as is needful for us. Okay, he gives us what we need, in other words. Prayer is the ascent of the soul to God, but without Christ in the heart by faith, our services are offensive smoke. In him, acceptable flames. Amen. They had the faith, and it was an acceptable flame to God, that sacrifice, and he rose up in that flame. We may apply this to Christ's sacrifice of himself for us. He ascended in the flame of his own offering, for by his own blood, he entered into once into the holy place. Hebrews 9:12. So, Manoah's reflections, there is great fear. We shall surely die. In his wife's reflection, there is great faith. As a help meet for him, she encouraged him. Let believers who have had communion with God in the word and prayer, to whom he has graciously manifested himself, and who have had reason to think God has accepted their works, take encouragement from thence in a cloudy and dark day. God would not have done what he has done for my soul if he had designed to forsake me and leave me and perish at last. For his work is perfect. Did you catch that? He would not have done in your life what he had done if he meant for you to be destroyed. Okay? In Jeff's words, much prettier in Matthew Henry's words. Does that make sense now? For his work is perfect. Learn to reason as Manoah's wife. If God designed me to perish under his wrath, he would not give me tokens of his favor. Beautiful, isn't it? So, and the woman bore a son, called his name Samson, and the young man grew, and the Lord blessed him. The Spirit of the Lord began to stir in him at Mahanadan between Zorah and Eshtal. So we see that even as a youth, right, he was raised in the womb as a Nazarite, but even as a youth, the Lord was with him and blessed him and stirred with him. He has evidence that the Lord was blessing him. Where God gives blessings, he gives his spirit to qualify for blessings. Here's a little, Manoah is remembered for his faith and obedience. And he's an excellent example, okay? I'm not sure we ever hear from him again. I'm going through my very dusty, cobwebby brain. And I think, you know, this might be the most of it. As well as his humility in asking the angel for his name, which the angel refused to give. So we need to understand that the Word of God is living and active. The Word of God is inspired, as we learned in Bible study this morning, or as we have been talking about. It's profitable, and it is sufficient. That doesn't mean you can't pray for yourself or ask for other things for other people. You know, as we ask for prayer requests, and we support one another, and we encourage it. But we have to understand, someone told me, yes, no, wait. He says yes, he says no, he says wait. You know, it might not be that we're able to accept it or have the appropriate knowledge to understand it at that moment. That doesn't mean just stop, okay? Because you're not getting an answer you want or right away. You know, have some patience, because that's one of the fruits of the Spirit, that if you know him, that's part of it. And don't give up on your prayer. And don't give up on praying for other people. And don't give up on seeking him or stop reading the Bible or coming to church or going to Bible study or singing songs when you pray. Have you guys read the words of these songs that we sang today? I mean, it should bring tears to your eyes. Seriously. And who cares if you don't sing? You know, the guy behind you isn't going to hear you. You're only killing the people in front of you, and we're all singing just as bad anyway. So it's a beautiful, beautiful thing to sing your heart out to God. What? Amen, brother. It is. I mean, look and see and hear those words and then shout them out to God, because our praise and worship is part of it. It's part of our praise. I come up here wiping tears away, and probably because I'm killing myself, I'm singing. But, you know, it's the words. It's what it does to your heart. Sometimes it has affected me so much, I can't even talk for a moment. So that's part of it too. So anyway, there is Samson's parents. That's chapter 13 in Judges. And I really, really, really enjoyed going through it. I hope you did too. Let's have a prayer. My dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day that you have blessed us. Father, we thank you for your word, which is just so perfect. And as we continue to read it, as we continue to be faithful in our walk as best that we can to our ability, as we continue to grow, as we continue to pray for other people, as we continue to think over and above ourselves and others, we see your son. We see him. We love him. Help us to be more like him. Help us to have that heart that just goes beyond ourselves and reaches out to others, reaches out to you. Help us to be in prayer constantly. It just draws us closer to you. It brings us into your very presence. And as we do it more regularly, you know, it becomes, you're so faithful. You are absolutely so faithful. And I do feel in my own heart, in my own time with you, that I am in your very presence through what was done for me on the cross, through the Spirit that lives within me, through your grace and mercy. You are due all glory, honor, and praise. You are worthy. You are sovereign. We love you. And I thank you for your presence here today. And we pray these things in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Please stand. We conclude our service this morning.